and maybe other people want to mock Tom Cruise, but not me. I believe in that guy.
That's why your life is going to be spared, and he's coming to kill Jerry O'Connell. Lisa May, you're going to be so excited right now.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about a guy who's on the TV show Carpoolers.
Yes.
Jerry
My
O'Connell.
Life is perfect.
Who is probably, I don't know, for me, he's probably still best known as that guy in Jerry Maguire.
Sure.
The guy who wasn't Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire. But I guess he was on Crossing Jordan for 5 or 6 years. I mean, everybody would recognize his face
and
if they
Sliders.
Saw him.
And Sliders. He was on
and
Sliders.
Of course, he was the Sliders dude. Yeah. He is really taking his life into his hands, though, because he parodied a video that's been going around that I guess was recorded a couple of years ago. It's Tom Cruise being interviewed about Scientology. Hopefully, you've seen it by now. If you haven't, I think we do have a link to it from the Kevin and Bean page of the KROQ.com website.
We have a link to that, and we have a link to the Jerry O'Connell video
right
below it, so they can see both.
And I think we have a little bit of Tom Cruise and then a little bit of Jerry O'Connell and what he's doing. And the reason I say he's taking his life in his own hands is because he basically is making fun of Scientology here. And I think, you know, that's the shortcut to
death.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, that's what's going to happen here.
Shortcut to death, by the way, opening Coachella.
They're very good.
Here's Tom Cruise and talking about why he can't go on vacation.
I'd like to go on vacation and go and romp and play and just romp. Do that. You know what I mean?
Nope.
I mean, that's what I want it to be, okay? That's how I would, you know, there's times I'd like to do that, but... But I can't because I know.
He knows. What's amazing is that that's not the parody. That's the real tape. I mean, like, you look at that and go, how do you make anything sound crazier than that?
And then Jerry O'Connell comes up with this.
I wish I could go on vacation. I wish I could just go romp like everyone else. But I can't right now because I am broke.
So then Tom Cruise talks about KSW. What is that? I forget. It's some code.
Keep Scientology working.
Keep Scientology working. Right.
So for me, it really is KSW, and it's just like...
Okay, so that's Tom Cruise, and then Jerry O'Connell.
For me, it's all about KFC. It's just good chicken. PYT, pretty young thing. WAYATW, why are you acting this way?
When he does the laugh, you have to watch it. It is so exactly like Tom Cruise.
Oh, and crazy face and clapping his hands.
Tom Cruise talks about when you see an accident as a Scientologist, what you have to do.
Being a Scientologist, when you drive past an accident, it's not like anyone else. As you drive past, you know you have to do something about it because you know you're the only one that can really help.
Okay.
Jerry, couldn't anyone with a AAA card help, though, really?
Nope. Not according to Tom Cruise. Here's Jerry O'Connell.
When you drive past an accident and you see it, don't do anything because you don't want to be involved with insurance and any sort of litigation.
Good advice.
So then, Tom, you remember the famous part where he says people are coming to us for answers, and if you don't have them...
It is the time now. Now is the time, okay? It is being a Scientologist, people are turning to you, so you better know it.
Sure.
You better know it. And if you don't...
I'll kill you.
You know, go and learn it.
Right. That's right. That's right. And then Jerry O'Connell.
Now is the time to help the Writers Guild of America. Now is the time. And if you don't know how to help them, then learn how to help them.
Why is he doing this?
Why is he
painting a giant target on his back? Why?
I don't know. I mean, obviously he thinks he's crazy, but... I mean,
you saw what the Scientologists did to President Kennedy and Martin Luther King and some of the other figures through our history.
I'm not sure that we know that was a fact, but there is another group on the internet now called Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would want to be a member of their group either.
Really? What do they got going on?
They are directly taking on the Church of Scientology. This is Anonymous from YouTube.
Hello, leaders of Scientology. We are Anonymous. Over the years, we have been watching you, your campaigns of misinformation, your suppression of dissent, your litigious nature. All of these things have caught our eye, With the leakage of your latest propaganda video into mainstream circulation, the extent of your malign influence over those who have come to trust you as leaders has been made clear to us. Anonymous has therefore decided that your organization should be destroyed. For the good of your followers, for the good of mankind, and for our own enjoyment, we shall proceed to expel you from the internet and systematically dismantle the Church of Scientology in its present form. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Okay. All right, then.
I think we're in the middle of a war.
That's one kid in his basement with a voice changer. That's all that is.
Probably. Probably. So we sent our assistant producer, Alex, to try and track down Anonymous. Tell us the email that you got back.
Dude,
Alex, this is awesome.
I'm in love. I'm in love with Anonymous.
Yeah.
I got this email last night about 9:30. You must understand something. Anonymous is not one person or small group of people. As of right now, we are over 900 people dedicated in this effort. I have been chosen to speak to you in order to better further direct your contact to us. If you listen to your voicemail, I have currently left two identical phone numbers on two separate messages. You can reach me on that number, and I will from there further direct you on how to contact the current raid leaders, if you can call it that. We will have a massive, you will have a massive audience in us. Be aware we are giving you exclusive rights to publish since you are the first to try and contact us. Anonymous.
Wow.
I love them.
Okay, now.
I am on board. I love them so much.
Is that some kind of a cool, like, group of people, or is it Roland in his basement?
It's either the dude from LA Jedi Knights who wouldn't talk to us.
Right.
Or it's this awesome group of over 900 people who are ready to showcase the fraud that is Scientology, that it's a cult, not a church.
Why leave the same phone number on two separate messages? How is that an improvement over leaving one?
I listened to them. He sounded like a little nervous because they obviously don't reach out and talk to people and they don't want to get screwed over.
They're going to put a sock on a sign and you have to. There's going to be a drop underneath there and there's going to be a phone number you can call.
These
and it's a cell phone that's a throwaway phone. They just got it.
These are people who obviously know Scientology and know if they're caught, they're going to probably die and get thrown into some boat in the harbor of Long Beach.
Dude.
Some Scientologist gulag.
I know.
Wow.
So for those of you who were caught surprised by Heath Ledger in your office death pool, you want to be advised, Jerry O'Connell should be on your new list and assistant producer Alex as well.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
With either Harold or Kumar, whichever one he turns out to be. Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay. This is the movie that has been long awaited. Ladies and gentlemen, the genius behind Harold, actor John Cho, joins us in the studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
Genius. Good morning, John. Welcome.
Wow. Thank you very much. That was very
passionate. I say that because, I mean, this is one of the iconic movie characters of our time. And I think people would be surprised that, you know, it wasn't a hit when it came out. It's one of those movies now that we think is one of the big hits of the century, but it was not a hit with the original movie when it came out at all.
It wasn't?
No, it was a bomb. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, at the box office.
All I know is I loved it. I thought it was great. That's so surprising to me that it bombed.
Well, thank you. Well, we had to wait a few years. For the DVD receipts to pile up, and in between, they suggested a straight-to-DVD sequel, and we were not into that.
That's not a good sign?
That's not a good sign.
Straight-to-DVD?
That's not a good sign. That's joining the ranks of actors that I don't want to diss. But,
So, was there talk of doing a new one, and they wouldn't let you, or did you just lay off for a while, or how does that work?
Well, they wrote the first one with a sequel in mind right from the beginning, like a la Back to the Future. And which is, you know, really ballsy of them, but we didn't. But the movie bombed, so we
but
were waiting.
Why, John? Why do you think it bombed? I mean, obviously the movie has held up well. It is a huge DVD rental every year since and purchased it. Why did people not go see it first time around? Did you open up against a couple of big movies that were out at that time, or what?
As I recall, and I can't remember what they were at the moment because it doesn't matter. There were some big movies, and plus, I mean, we weren't, you know, we're not big movie stars, and I think it took some doing to get people to the movie theaters, and DVD was sort of the perfect medium for us.
It must have grown exponentially with the DVD, yes.
I think it did, and it's one of those movies that everyone that comes up to me feels like I'm the only one that saw it. It never felt like everyone saw it and everyone was aware of everyone seeing it. Wasn't a phenomenon that way. It was like, hey, I saw your movie. Has anyone else seen it? Because I saw it. I want to let you know that I'm the guy that saw it.
Before we get into the specifics of the movie, John, was it a tough decision for you to make growing up as an Asian American to decide to be an actor? I would imagine that you probably didn't have a tremendous number of role models to look up to or a lot of chance of success going into that field.
Well, yeah, I didn't really think about it growing up. And I, looking back, I'm wondering if it was because it didn't even really seem like a possibility. But I fell into acting in college, and so growing up, it just wasn't on my radar.
How do you fall into acting? You tripped and ended up in the gym where they were practicing a play or something?
It's a metaphor.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
sorry. So you didn't really actually trip.
No. I was in this writing group, and a guy said, and one of the writers said, hey, I'm directing a play. How tall are you, and what do you weigh? And literally, a guy got sick and needed somebody that fit the costume.
No kidding.
Nice.
Yeah. Really.
What do you think you would have done otherwise with your life?
I had no idea. Really, I had no idea. So it's a good thing it
is
came
the dude
along.
That got sick a homeless guy now, or what happened to him?
I have no idea where he is.
See, gone. He's a homeless guy on the streets.
If you're out there, give me a call.
Begging for cash.
Do you run into John when you go up for a part, when you go out for an audition or something like that? The person who wrote it or the person who's casting it has a white guy in mind for whatever reason, even if there's no reason for the character to be a white guy in the movie, and they're just not thinking. They just aren't thinking that it could necessarily be another race.
Well, I'd never get that far because in the breakdown service, which is how production companies let agents and managers know who they're looking for, they list ethnicities.
Oh.
So it goes name, age range, gender, and ethnicity. And they'll say... If they say nothing, then it's meant white.
Right.
And then they'll say black or Asian or open to ethnicity. So there is a gate.
If they specifically say open to ethnicities or whatever, then.
Sometimes I show up and it's a mix. Sometimes I show up and it's all Asian. And sometimes it's me and the Latino guy looking at each other square across the room. Staring each other down.
Which ethnicity is it going to be?
Yeah, yeah,
because there are so many roles in so many movies. I mean, just as an example, forgetting Sarah Marshall's in the theaters right now. There's, you know, five or six pretty juicy, funny roles in that movie. None of them are Asian guys, but almost any of them could be. But it just may be what they had in mind at the casting call, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long discussion that I'm not privy to, what they do back there.
I understand. I got you.
So I don't know what happens, but I agree with you that there's so many roles that I turn on the television and I go see movies, and I'm like, that could be anybody, couldn't it?
Sure, sure. Yeah. So because of you and because of Cal with his Indian background, it does not go well for Harold and Kumar this time around.
No. This movie picks up right where the first one left off, and we're trying to get to Amsterdam. I don't know if you've heard of this place, but there's
Amsterdam.
There's legalized marijuana there.
Yes.
What?
We've been there and love it and are dying to go back.
Yes. We went there, by the way, and it was unbelievable. But
you walk into a hotel there, and literally it so smells of pot. In just a regular hotel, not any of the cafes or anything, because everyone's smoking it.
The stench of fun.
You don't need your own.
Stench of fun. Did you lose like 8 hours the way Kevin did while
you
were there?
The time went – yeah, time is weird. it's a warp there. But we're trying to get to Amsterdam. We get on the plane we managed to get on the plane, and Kumar has brought a bong onto the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody thinks it's a bomb.
And that's good or bad?
That's bad. We get sent to Guantanamo Bay. We escape and nuttiness ensues. And the scene is after we get caught and Rob Corddry, who plays a TSA official, is interrogating us.
We love America!
Very much.
Oh, that's a convenient thing to say after you try and blow up a plane filled with Americans.
No, we didn't do... No, you see, you have the wrong idea. My idiot friend here brought marijuana on the plane.
Hey, zip it, Hello Kitty. Okay? I know your operation's funded through drugs.
This is typical government, sir.
Harold, shut up.
How through going through Amsterdam and then Guantanamo Bay, how do you guys run into Neil Patrick Harris again in this movie?
To be revealed. But they did want to bring back somebody from the first movie.
That's a good choice.
And they were like, how would it be logical for anyone to get here? And the only person for whom it makes sense is Neil Patrick Harris, because he's The Wanderer.
And he's more out there than the last time, I hear.
Yeah. He is a weird dude in this movie. And he's weirder in real life than you'd think.
Is that right?
Actually, at first I was like, during the first movie, I was like, Neil Patrick Harris is so different from Neil Patrick Harris. And then I realized, Neil Patrick Harris is frighteningly similar to Neil Patrick Harris.
Really? Because he strikes me as a pretty straight guy that's really smart,
I don't know,
but
if
a good actor.
He's not straight.
He's not straight.
That's a poor choice of words, Kevin.
I mean, never mind. It's good to know that the hatred of Bean is not an exclusive property of human beings.
How dare you?
Bean has a bird. He does his show from a home in just outside Seattle. And a bird hates him. Hates him.
By the way, you say a home as if I've been put away, in a padded room somewhere.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We sent him to a home.
That kind of home. He has a bird that lands on the window and starts squawking at him every day, and he hates Bean.
I've never had a bird hate me.
Me either.
You're talking about the Blue Jay of Hate who's been stalking me for about 2 years?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
2 years? Seriously?
Yeah. Yes, 2 years. This bird has been up my ass.
Why wouldn't I know that you won't kill even the smallest of animals because you're screwed up in the head, but why wouldn't you at least get, I don't know, like a BB gun or something, just kind of sting it a little bit, just to kind of get it to go away and not be there.
I'm not going
to
shoot a bird just because he lives in my yard.
No, but this is the Blue Jay of Hate.
Right, but it's his home. He lives here, too.
Right, but he's full of hate.
I can coexist. Look,
dude,
2 years, he coexists with me.
That's true. He should take you out. So, 2 years, a bird is squawking at me? I'm sorry. I got to take it out.
This bird, I know it sounds like Kevin's joking. It's not just that this bird's annoying. This bird follows me. This bird chases me. This bird comes and peers at me with his beady little bird eyes.
Really?
He sits outside the window for an hour at a time and just looks at me and goes, rah, rah, rah. It really is kind of, I mean, it's to the point now where I don't know what's going on. It concerns me.
You're going to be walking outside one day and the bird, the Blue Jay of Hate, is going to swoop down and just take out an eye with his beak.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Hopefully it's the one with the tube.
That'd be the way to go, wouldn't it?
The Blue Jay of Hate.
Pet to death by a Blue Jay.
I'm telling you the honest truth. If that bird was doing that to me, I would have no problem killing that bird. None.
Dude, you don't kill a bird just because
kill
it
the Blue
does
Jay
bird.
Of hate.
Because it does bird things. You don't kill
but
a bird.
But other
Come
birds
on.
Aren't mad at you. Just this one. This is the only bird that hates you, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, did I accidentally knock his nest down? I don't know what happened. I've never done anything to the Blue Jay of Hate that I'm aware of, but we're a little early right now. If it were half an hour from right now, I'd be able to turn the mic up and you'd be able to hear the Blue Jay of Hate because he's like clockwork.
It's just like women. Women instantly hate Bean. Just like as soon as they meet him, they hate him.
I think this bird hates the sound of his voice.
This bird is annoyed by everything Bean stands for.
Now, what
this
is
bird
this note?
Hates the post office. He hates everything.
This note I'm getting from Producer Lightning says that we have somebody on the phone to talk to us on this topic.
We lined up the Blue Jay of Hate. We have him. Hello? Are you the Blue Jay of Hate?
I hate Bean.
That's him. That's the Blue Jay of Hate. I can verify that's definitely him.
What? Why do you hate Bean?
Oh, God, shut up, Bean! Oh, I like the post office! Oh, Edmund Fitzgerald's greatest song ever! Oh, Barry Manilow! But, blind animals! Oh, but, the season ended today, the Mariners would be in first place!
But Blue Jay of Hate, I have to ask, you don't live in the house with me. How are you able to hear all this
because
stuff?
Why you won't shut up! You're everywhere all over the island! Oh, Prairie Home Companion, Delica Keeler! Oh, I read on my blog today! I want you dead!
Have you tried to get any other birds on your side, Blue Jay of Hate?
Yes!
They don't care?
Get hawks.
Yeah.
Try to get eagles.
They don't care.
Try to get sparrows.
Wow.
They don't care.
You're a lonely voice in the wilderness.
I'm the only one who knows he must die.
Are you going to try and kill him?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay. Can you give me any kind of a hint as to how I should expect to die?
Yes. You will be pecked. From the inside out.
Oh, wow.
How are you going to get inside?
I'm going in the back door.
Oh, no. No.
Don't bend over to feed the animals.
And you want me to put my what where? A couple of days ago, we were talking about the instant messages with former Representative Mark Foley of Florida. And one of the messages that was going back and forth between the congressman and a page was about the page's turn-on, which we found unusual, which was plaster casts. He, like, loves a woman with a broken arm, I guess, because that, for some reason, is sexy. And I don't know that much about it. Is it just that visually that's appealing, or is there something he actually does with the cast, or does he like to rub up against the cast?
I don't know.
No idea.
I mean, maybe somebody can call that has that same turn on. I don't know. Maybe it's that they can't run. I don't know. But somehow they get turned on by people who have casts.
Yeah.
And I know that there's very little that doesn't turn on some guy out there. You can almost, it doesn't matter what you talk about. It's stuffed animals, you know. There are people out there who are really, really into them. But the cast thing I've never heard of. A couple of emails on that topic. First from Elizabeth. Hey, I was listening to your skit about the Senate page tip line. I got a great laugh out of it. I was surprised about the cast fetish because I assumed it wasn't a widespread thing. I think it's really odd to get excited about this. At least I did until I broke my leg. I had no idea this thing even existed. Folks who are into this are called casters.
Casters.
And they usually troll around on sites like mybrokenleg.com.
Well, what kind of site is that?
They ask for pictures of young girls or boys with their casts on. That's from Elizabeth. So she had personal experience with it. Hiya, boys, says frequent K-Rock contributor Michael. I've seen an art book of photography for sale at the Wacko store that I think is called Broken Angels, and it's all photos of young Japanese girls in body casts, leg casts, head casts. Some even have black eyes or bloody noses.
Oh, no!
Some have cuts or some are in traction. I guess it's supposed to be erotic to somebody. Those Asians are weird and they drive crappy. Thank you, Mike. So, a picture book of people in casts.
Well, everybody has something that turns them on. For some people, it's hair. For me, I like eyes.
Feet.
Some people. Yeah. Stomach. Some people. I got a top 10 list that we'll read of top 10 fetishes, according to AskMen.com, when we come back. And we want yours, especially if they are casts or something else unusual.
Okay.
That people kind of give you a second look when you tell them what turns you on.
For instance, girls with braces, I know, is a fetish for a lot of guys. Yeah. They're really turned on by girls with braces. Something that may be a little bit out of the ordinary, but you, there's nothing you can say that there's not a lot of people. I think there's nothing you could come up with that somebody is alone in being turned on by.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with Melissa, who's in Granada Hills. This is one, for instance, and Ralph, I'm glad you're here. I've never heard of this. Maybe you have. Hi, Melissa. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the fetish?
Hi. I have a fetish for Audis.
Audi belly buttons?
Yeah.
That turns you on.
It's just so cute.
You're an umbilophile.
Will you only date men with those? With Audis?
My boyfriend has one.
Yeah.
This is funny. I find Audis repugnant.
I do too.
I think they're so gross.
I think they're so cute. I've always wanted one when I was little.
Wow.
Wow.
They're hard to get.
Do you like to lick his Audi?
All right.
I have twins, and they have Audis, too.
Oh, that's not good news for them.
That's like a birth defect.
Thank you, Melissa, for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Christina, who is calling from Fullerton. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
What's your fetish?
Men with big thighs.
Big thighs. Does it bother you that men with big thighs usually have big stomachs and big chests?
No, as long as they have big thighs.
Really?
I date bigger guys.
You're a Jerome Bettis file, is what that's called.
That's the official name.
Yeah, it's the official name, yeah.
All right. Thank
big
you, Christina.
Thighs. That's a powerful sign for a man, I guess, to have big tree trunk legs.
I guess.
Yeah. Let's go to Hackup in Glendale, because this is one that I know is, among fetishes, this one is very, very popular.
I have a fetish for really stupid names.
Hackup. This is a fetish that has magazines and movies and the whole deal. Hackup, what do you got?
In Glendale.
I'm sorry?
Glendale.
You're from Glendale, right. Okay. What's your fetish?
I love hairy women.
Hairy women.
Hairy?
I don't buy this.
Hackup's putting us on a little bit.
I don't buy this accent at all.
Yeah. Because Glendale's big Armenian, our big Armenian community there.
Thanks for calling.
That's the joke. But the truth is, Ralph, I'm right about that. I mean, that's pretty popular, right?
Hotandhairy.com. You can go see all kinds of just, like, women with hair from, like, the mid-stomach down, all the way down the inside of their thighs.
No, stop talking.
You won't believe some of the sights you can see.
All right, let's go to April in Irvine, who has a cast fetish.
Oh, there we go.
Now we're talking.
All right. April, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're turned on by casts.
Well, my best friend in college had a thing for guys who had casts.
So you...
Oh, it's not you. Okay.
So you caught it?
Yeah, well, she would just... If any guy had a cast, she was just all over it. She said it was more not a domination thing, but like an ooh, they're a sexy warrior and got injured thing.
A sexy, oh, I see, because they were out there doing something really wild.
Yeah, like something really manly, and they got hurt, and, you know.
Yeah, I was saying the dumbest thing is usually for men. For women, it is sort of like a nurturing caretaker kind of fantasy thing.
Yeah, like they can't get away, so you have to stuff chicken soup down their throat, you know.
Or whatever you got handy.
Exactly. All right, April, thank you very much for the call. There's silk fetishes, rubber, people who are turned on just by pregnant women, noses, of course, leather, babies, you know, infantilism, I guess they call that.
Robots.
Scuba. Robots.
There's a robot fetish. It's called. There's a robot fetishism. That's what they call it, that you're turned on by robots.
Oh, when I do, that feels so good.
Like that.
Baby.
I thought about this all day.
Not so fast. You are hurting me.
When I did Sex U for Playboy Television, remember that? Not Sex U, but
that was
Sex Etera.
Right.
I actually had to do a story on robot love.
Really?
About guys who used to spray paint women with like metallic body paint and have them pretend to be robots in order to have sex with them.
Do they have to do the robot dance?
They have to move like robots. They have to be able to be positioned and everything. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Guys, is there really a fart fetish? Does that exist? Because I'm seeing that on the list. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
There's a top 10 list. Voyeurism is 10. Golden showers is 9, unfortunately. Water is 8. Braids, ponytails, pigtails is 7. 6 is fingernails, lipstick. 5 is feet, hands. 4 is domination, submission.
That's a biggie.
3 is leather, rubber, vinyl, latex. 2 is body piercing. Huh. And the number 1 fetish, according to AskMen.com, is farts.
No.
Stomachs.
Stomachs?
What?
No feet? Feet's not in the top 10, but stomachs.
That's correct, yes. Oh, feet, hands is number 5.
So yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kind of a mixture there. All right, let's go to John, because I think he's having us on, too. John in Laguna Beach, hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are good. What's your fetish?
My fetish is sniffing women's armpits.
No, it's not.
No. I think we're going to deny that one.
Do you only do it when they're not using deodorant?
I only do it when they're not using deodorant.
You like that earthy smell, huh?
You need to move to France.
Where do you think that, I'm sure you've thought about this, John, where do you think that came from? Was that something from your mom?
No. I think it's just the natural scent of a woman that just drives a man crazy.
Yeah.
No, not most of us, but okay.
All right. We had an intern that would drive you crazy.
No. Yeah, you would have loved her.
All right, we don't have time for all these calls.
We got excited when she got to the...
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
So this is one of the last times we'll ever be able to call it the Foobador. That's basically what you're telling me.
We've been trying for a long time to get a breakfast with this next band. Very excited to introduce the Foo Fighters!
Keep you in the dark and sew it on again. Yeah. I'm what's right. I'm the enemy. I'm the hand that took you down to lead to your knees. So who are you? Yeah, who are you? You know they all return. What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm just another one? In your face, you're the pretender. What if I say I will never surrender? What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm just another one? In your face, you're the pretender. What if I say I'm never surrender?
Becca's with the Foo Fighters.
Thank you.
Live from the Troubadour.
Your band has a very liberal facial hair policy.
Facial hair?
Yeah, seems like your big fans are keeping it alive.
Well, you know, I think it's important for everybody to have an image, first
okay.
of all.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about beards is that they hide your face. And I think that the more we hide our face, the more records we sell.
That works to your advantage.
I see. So beards equal money to me.
Okay.
And, so I encourage everyone to have a beard.
All right. We'll
make more money that way.
Including Petra?
No. That's against the rules.
We've learned a little something here today. All right. Producer Lightning, I believe, is in the crowd somewhere. Lightning, where are you, my man?
I am right over here at the spotlight.
All right. Now, before we hear the first question, Dave, as you know, the Breakfast with Foo Fighters is mostly Foo Fighters fans, hardcore Foo Fighters fans. And I'm telling you, the begging and the pleading we've endured for the last 2 weeks for people to be here has been unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean,
sorry about that.
You have cultivated some hardcore fans, is what I'm telling you.
And well, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces. Whenever we play gigs, you can usually see the people that you've seen before.
Right.
And it's been a long time. Like, the thing now is that people that come to shows, some have been coming for 10 or 12 years, and then other kids are just coming in the last couple of years.
Brand new.
So you've got mustaches.
Yes.
And then you've got kids with their first mustache.
Right.
Just make you proud.
The pre-shave.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, the soft little.
So anyway, maybe you'll recognize some of the people stepping up to the microphone here today, but Producer Lightning is out with our first question from the audience, Breakfast with Foo Fighters on K-Rock.
Well, you know what? I've got Erica. Not only does she have the Zippo hoodie right here with the Foo Fighters on it, but also look at the back of her neck. Turn around, Erica.
Oh, you didn't do that, did you?
Yeah.
Crazy, girl. Look at that.
The double F right
that
there.
That doesn't
on the back
go
of the
away, you know.
That sticks. Go away.
But Dave, let me tell you the ripoff. She called us and goes, "Guys, I got double F's," and we're like, "Yeah,
woo!
Come on in." Then we found out it's a stupid.
Wasn't that a couple weeks ago? That contest.
Yeah, right.
No, I just checked it out online.
Then
yeah.
We found out it's a stupid tattoo. But anyway,
you also have a question for him, correct?
Huh?
I just wanted to know. Best of You really helped me get through a really hard time in my life. What inspired you to write that song, and how has it affected your life?
Well, I wrote that song after going out on the road with John Kerry for a while. And I don't want to get political, but that really inspired me because what I was doing is I was going in, I was going with his touring sort of motorcade where we go from one little town to the next, and he would make these presentations, these speeches. And I would stand up and play songs like My Hero and Times Like These, and nobody knew who I was. Like, it was all World War II vets. I swear, I'm serious. School teachers, and nobody gave a squat about who I was. But then I'd go up there and just talk about, whatever, being an American and touring the world and what it is to be an American these days. And after doing that, it really inspired me to, it inspired me to write that song because I felt like, you know, there were all of these people that needed to be rescued from all the different situations and problems that they had in their lives. And a lot of them felt like they were being taken advantage of. And so I wrote that song out of that. And still to this day, I get choked up sometimes when I sing it. So, just because it's, you know, it means a lot to me.
Way to pick a winner, too, by the way, Dave.
In that...
thanks, about, yeah.
In that campaign...
I think I'm going to endorse Huckabee this time, just to make sure that, you know...
In that campaign, though, didn't...
Make sure you won't win.
Didn't President Bush use your song times like these? Wasn't he starting
apparently
to play that?
He was used... some, I don't know, whatever. That's how out of touch that dude is.
That's got to be weird.
He's a hot new rock man.
Cool. He doesn't have to get your okay, though, to use it on the... On his commercials and stuff?
Ask the lawyer. I don't know.
All right, great question. Thank you very much for that. Lightning, who's next, please?
Heath out in the crowd right here. And also, Heath, show him your middle finger here. Another double F right
too?
Here.
Is
right
this
there.
A convention? You crazy.
We got Heath. What's your question?
Don't follow me home.
First, thank you guys for making such amazing music for so many years. You inspired her and so many other people. So thank you for that.
Welcome.
But my question is
thanks,
for...
Heath.
Speaking of both of you, this question is for both of you. If you guys could play drums for any classic rock band in their heyday, any band, anywhere, anytime, what band would it be?
Right said Fred.
Hawkins.
ABBA.
ABBA.
Now, how about if I answer yours and you answer mine?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to answer for Dave, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Got to be.
And I'll answer for Taylor. It's kind of a I got to say the Police.
Yeah.
It's got to be, yeah.
Taylor's the police guy.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Led Zeppelin, since the last time we talked to you, Dave, you went to the freaking Led Zeppelin concert.
I did. I went to go see him play.
Tell me it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. It was really weird because a couple of us went and we left. It was on a Monday, so we left Sunday afternoon. We got in Monday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning to London. Went to the hotel, took a nap for 3 hours, woke up, took a shower, started drinking, got the van down to the gig, drank, hung out for a little bit, and then all of a sudden the lights went out and Led Zeppelin started playing.
Now, for folks who don't pay attention, this is a band that hasn't performed together but since a couple of times in 30 years. I mean, this was a big, big deal.
It was a huge
deal. And they're your favorite band, so.
And tattoos and the whole deal. It was at the O2 Arena in London, and that place holds 18,000 people, and I guess like 28 million people tried to get tickets.
Excellent.
So when we got in there, everybody that was in the gig, it was like they won the lottery, you know? So the vibe inside the venue was insane. Everyone was just like, we're going to see Led Zeppelin. We're going to see Led Zeppelin. They were so excited. And it was, I mean, I never got to see him play back in the day. So... I've watched all the movies and the bootlegs and every album front to back. And so to actually see them there and be kind of drunk, it was surreal. It was bizarre. And they were amazing. And the set they
played nailed it,
over
right?
2 hours. It's incredible.
Dave, he was in our studio just before that, and he said, I never do this, but I called up and I said, hey, you remember Nirvana?
Yeah.
I need some tickets. Remember that? You said, I never do that, but for that one, I did.
Well, you don't want to use the N-word too much.
No, I don't know. All right, but let me ask you one more thing on that, Dave, because you're sitting there going, I could do that. I mean, did you wish it were you up on that stage playing drums on those songs?
That's just the same as Taylor. I'm sure when Taylor watches The Police, there's that part of you. When I was a kid, and I bet you're the same way, you'd go to see a band, and it would be your favorite band, and you had this weird, perverted fantasy that maybe something would happen to the drummer,
sure.
And that the singer would come up and be like, hey, does anybody know every single one of our songs? And so there was that. Jason Bonham is Jason Bonham.
He was great.
The John Bonham, the drummer, Led Zeppelin, died, so Jason Bonham, his son, played, and he's amazing. Yeah. I mean, he plays like his father. And beyond that, he's a great drummer. It was awesome.
It's cool.
But it was funny because afterwards, I went upstairs to this after party. It was me and Chad from the Chili Peppers and Steve Gorman from the Black Crowes sitting around drinking like, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
It's cool that you guys can still be such big fans and are not just completely turned off to the music business. You know what I mean? Because there's a difference between the music and the music business.
Well, but it's all music, you know? So great bands are great bands.
That's awesome. More from the audience here at the Troubadour, but I think we got to take a break, right?
Yes.
A quick break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more from Foo Fighters on stage. It's Breakfast with the Foo.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
World famous K-Rock.
All right, I can only say it a couple more times. We're live from the Foubadour on Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood. Breakfast with Foo Fighters is happening this morning on the world famous K-Rock.
We got a few more questions from the audience. Lightning is out there. But before we get to that, Dave, I wanted to ask you a follow-up on something you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
You talked about how you had the beautiful Hawaiian vacation. You wrote all sorts of songs. You seem like a prolific kind of guy. But you can only put out so many records. What do? You save all those songs, or do you trash them? Are they going to see the light of day one day, or what do you think?
Well, usually when we go in to make a record, we have a lot of stuff left over. Because, you know, you might walk into the studio with 40 ideas and think, man, this is a triple record. They're all awesome. And this is going to change the course of rock history. And then you go in there and 35 of them suck. and then you keep writing. But well, there's a lot of leftovers. But, I mean, honestly, like, we'll make a record and then we'll travel for like a year and a half. And in that time, we'll write.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come off the road and there's not a lot of... We usually don't take big, long breaks. Like, there's some bands that go away for 2 or 3 years at a time.
Right.
And we might have a month or two between touring and starting the next record, but it's not a lot of time.
Slave driver, dude.
You're Iron slave fist. Driver. You do crack the whip. Everybody do what I tell you now.
A lot of artists get frustrated with the slow pace of how you can release records, and more of them are just saying, hey, I wrote this song today. I'm going to put it up on my website because I want it out there. You know what I mean?
Well, nowadays, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
But we're lucky because, you know, the way we work, we have our own studio, and the people at Sony BMG are so cool to us. The RCA people are so totally cool that they just let us do whatever we want to do. And so if we say, hey, we're going to make a record, they say, okay. And then we make it, and then they come in and listen to it and go, ah, it sounds like a good
I could do that.
<Put it out. laughs>
You do make it sound easy.
Interesting.
All right. Producer Lightning in the crowd here at the Troubadour with our another listener. What's the story? What's the person?
We've got Serena right here, and she's been on the air kind of sort of. Tell your story.
I called in a couple months ago to speak with you and Taylor when it was Stump the Foos. And,
Did you stump us?
No, I was on hold, had an anxiety attack when Psycho Mike came and said I was next. You were coming to the phone, and I hung up because I... Whoa.
She hung up. She couldn't take it.
Did you take your Zoloft off today? Are you cool? You got it together?
Yeah, a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, good.
I'm trying.
Serena?
A lot of people watching right now.
Come on, don't put the pressure on her.
Come on.
Serena, did you have a question you've always wanted to ask the Foos?
I do. My absolute favorite all-time song that you sing is Everlong. I think it is a completely sexy song when you say breathe in so I can breathe out.
I stole that from Def Leppard, by the way.
I'm just curious as to if you wrote that for somebody and...
And was it you?
And, yeah. And what it means to you.
I wrote it to myself.
That's lovely.
Because I've never met anyone like me.
Nice.
And I know I never will. And I'm deeply in love.
With?
Me.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
The end.
Dave, we have a... There's people in this room who walk down the aisle to that song. I mean, that's making an imprint on somebody's life right there when you're their wedding song.
That's a weird thing.
We had a winner that called us up that all of the music at their wedding was Foo Fighters. All of it.
Really?
Walk down the aisle.
Was that you? That was you?
Walk down the aisle. Every single song, Foo Fighter.
How bummed was your family?
She said, cool? She told us they were Mexican and confused, is what she said.
Wow. Well, that's
cool. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the question. We appreciate it. Who's next, Lake?
We've got Thor right here.
Thor
yeah! What's up, Thor?
Look at Thor.
Go along with the whole
facial
hair thing. I grew the food just for you, brother.
Dude, are you an American Gladiators tonight? Because you should be.
That's me.
Okay, good.
That's I like that look.
That's a Fu Manchu right there.
The Viking helmet and the boat. Sorry.
What's your question?
So, are you able to play your own song on Guitar Hero on expert mode?
Oh,
good question.
Throwing down.
No, he didn't.
No.
Step up.
What about you, Thor?
Like Thor 1973.
Yeah. Or GarageBand.
No, well, I've tried...
The whole band together?
Well, you know, Guitar Hero, we had that at the studio when we were making the last record. And
how do you get anything done?
Well, it was Nate who played it mostly, our bass player, Nate. And he was awesome. He got really, really good at it. So that when it came time for him to do his bass lines, he was like...
A good rehearsal?
Play a note, man. No, that game's weird. Because you'd think that it would be like playing guitar. But in reality, it's absolutely nothing like playing guitar. And it's a problem because you're just looking at those little colored things coming down the deal and hitting the line. So then when you go to bed at night, it's just... It's one of those things where you're looking at that thing coming down for so long that you turn off the game and your head is just going... So it's a little weird.
It's a different set of skills, right?
Between really playing. Yeah, that's
what I guess. I suck at guitar anyway, so I don't know what Guitar Hero would be.
Yeah, right. All right, another life.
We've got Brian from the LBC.
What's up, my ninja?
Hi.
LBC. After your Oscar-worthy performance in Pick a Destiny as Satan, do you have any more plans to act?
No. Because...
How do you follow up Satan?
I gotta tell you there's a part of me that I don't know. I don't really think so. No. And I never really wanted to. I sort of kind of wanted to, but only if I could be in, like, Lord of the Rings as an orc or whatever. And then I got the call from Tenacious D to be the devil. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. That's not too much of a stretch.
Hey, you were acting in the video for Long Road to Ruin. Come on.
Well, videos are kind of...
You're sobbing. A lot of emotion there.
Thespian, dude. I'm just another thespian. I came to Hollywood to make it as an actor, and all I got was this crappy band.
Hey, before we hear the last number, during the commercials there, the audience here at the Troubadour was hearing you do a little Tom Petty on the stage.
Oh, man.
Thanks to Taylor for kicking into that.
Tom Petty.
Do you guys do any covers out on the road when you do your full-length rock show?
Yeah, we do some.
Because I know you've recorded a few great ones over the years. But
we usually record them for B-sides, you know?
Right.
Because after you're done making a record... Then people say, okay, we need 12 B-sides. You're like, we don't have any songs. So each of us picks a cover. And
who
we've
picked
done...
Darling Nikki? Who picked that one?
Me.
Who picked Baker Street?
Me. Taylor.
Do they ever
really
pick?
What were some of yours, T? You did a...
Did you do the Pink
Joe
Floyd?
Walsh.
Joe Walsh and the Pink Floyd song.
Chris, you picked... What did you pick? A Ramones? And Jawbreaker.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Nate, are you allowed to pick... Nate got beat. He got beat out. What was his? It was like a Talking Heads or something like that?
None of us knew. Yeah.
The bass player doesn't get the love, I'll tell you, is what's happening here. All right, let's hear it for Foo Fighters. One more song live from the Troubadour.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got their chains to break. Holding you, were you born to resist or be abused? Will someone get in the best, the best, the best, the best to you? Will someone get in the best, the best, the best, the best to you? Are you gone? No. I've got another confession, my friend. I'm no fool. I'm getting tired of starting again somewhere new. Were you born a resist? Won't be your beast. I swear I'll never give in.
Why don't people listen to us? Exit only. Exit only.
It ain't natural.
We're fascinated with, and there are new stories every day about, is people yep. who get stuff stuck up their ass.
They are fascinated with their back end.
And by the way,
put there.
We deserve a little bit of credit for how rarely we actually bring this topic on the air because yeah. it's a topic off the air at least once a week. Yeah. It's just it's unbelievable how often this happens. And Kevin, you had a new one that you saw just this week, right?
Yeah, it was a light bulb. Somebody had a light bulb stuck up their ass and they had to go into the hospital and get it removed because they couldn't get it back out.
Kind of one of the worst ideas.
The topic that we're going to ask your phone calls on is not what you put there. It's what you couldn't get back out. That's the funny part. And we should probably start with this.
I do want to warn you that some of the language in this story is strong and it may offend you. It may offend some other people. We have decided to leave it in the story for you to decide.
That's right.
Ben in Buena Park, what say you?
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Hi.
What happened?
Oh, well, my friends hooked me up with this girl, and which is now my wife. And about 2 months into it, you know, she starts saying that she wants to experiment. And, you know, I'm down. So she brought out two kiwis.
Two kiwis?
People from New Zealand?
No. So kiwis are what? They're a little bit smaller than apples?
Yeah. They're you know, probably about the size of half dollar, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so even smaller. Okay, go ahead.
And so, you know, she says, well, stick them up there. And I was like, okay, you know, we were having some fun, a little bit drunk. And so I shoved the first one up, and she said she liked it. And I was like, cool. And she said, shove the second one up. I'm like, okay, perfect, you know. And so I did it. And about 10 minutes later, she, you know, comes out of the bathroom. She says, they're not coming out.
Do you have to go to the hospital and explain it to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to the hospital, and you know, the guy there, the doctor's, like, sitting there cracking up outside the room talking to his nurse.
Of course.
Oh, no.
Of course.
So they take this, like, camera thing and stick it up, you know, and they ended up cutting the kiwis out. And the minute they cut the kiwis, the acid from the kiwis goes up inside, you know. And
okay, I think I've heard enough. Yeah. She started screaming. Okay, I got
Oh, Ben.
That's
wow.
a bad story. And then they still married each other.
And the kiwis still tasted good.
I'm a man. A man like any other with dreams and emotions. And that's why I'll never put a foreign object up my ass.
Harold and Azusa, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Harold.
Now, you're different. You got a little bit of a different story. You work in radiology.
Yeah, I work at radiology at a hospital in the San Gabriel Valley, and I've seen numerous things, but I think the best one was a patient who told me he was eating tacos in the shower and slipped and fell on the hot sauce bottle.
Because we all know how often we take a Mexican feast into the shower.
Oh my God.
Did you laugh in his face, Harold?
I had to hold it back. I mean, people come up with excuses all the time. No one just...
But how do you not eating tacos in the shower and fell on? Oh, for God's sake.
He didn't
That's
want
fantastic.
To get dirty.
That is
get
fantastic.
It all over his clothes.
Thank you.
But let's try Kelly in Santa Monica. Hi, Kelly. We're talking about things shoved up your ass. What do you got for us?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Kelly.
What happened?
Well, my dad's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, well, he's an OBGYN. So he was working at the hospital one night, and they called the ER called up to his unit. And
right.
they said, we need... we need forceps. And my dad's like, what the hell do you need forceps down in the ER for, you know? So they were like, well, we have this guy that came in, and he put a baby watermelon up his butt.
That's even a baby watermelon's really big,
he was,
isn't it?
Was he eating the baby watermelon in the shower and then slipped and fell on it?
Yeah. Yeah, they all seemed to fall on it.
Oh, my God, a baby watermelon.
Dad, yeah. So when he found out, he's like, you are not using my forceps for that. And the guy's like, well, we don't know what to do. And he's like, well, just cut it up and pull it out.
Oh, my God. I would, if I were a doctor, see, that's why it's good I'm not a doctor. I would have rushed down to ER to do it myself.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to miss that.
Are you kidding? That's awesome. I'll be right there.
I think I'll probably put it in my ass.
Sal in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm a paramedic, and we rushed to one call that came in as a rectal bleed. When we get there, my captain, the police department, they're all outside laughing.
Right.
And I rush in with my partner. The first thing I see is there's this guy bent over in front of a door. I guess him and his lover were using the doorknob with the door still attached.
Wait a minute. The doorknob was still attached to the door?
That is correct.
So he was hanging on the doorknob by his ass?
He was. Well, his feet were still tight. There's a pretty tall guy. The guy was still, you know, he was just bent over, kind of on his tippy toes. My partner is laughing. I'm trying to get him to calm down because I'm starting to crack up at this time, and the guy's just really pissed off, real livid, and his boyfriend's just starting to scream. The guys are telling me, I'm not going. And, you know, we told him, hey, you got to go, man, because I'm not a doctor. He has to have it surgically removed. So they cut a section of the door off, and we transport him like that on his stomach to the hospital with the doorknob.
Wow, that's awesome.
No.
Did anyone at any point say to him,
no wonder your behind is bleeding?
Thank you for the call.
I'm saying to you, my paramedic friend, and I'm saying to everybody else who encounters this in the future, there's something called YouTube now. There's no excuse for there not being video evidence of every single one of these stories. Am I right? And when you think Beer Week, you think the Hawk.
A couple days ago, our man Ralph Garman, who is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, came in and was telling us that he was a little homesick. He was missing an event that goes on at this time every year back home where they have some sort of beer week. I guess it's a celebration of all of the beer industry back there in Philadelphia. Apparently they have tens of thousands of people work in the breweries. They got something like 20 microbrews there. The history of beer in Philadelphia goes all the way back to the founder of the city, William Penn, back in 1680 had a brewery. And there's been beer made ever since. And they have a big party, right?
How come we don't have a beer week?
I don't know. It does sound pretty cool.
I know there's not a lot of microbreweries here that I'm aware of, but really, a beer week, it should be everywhere.
Well, if we had beer week, we would be aware of those microbreweries.
It should kick off on St. Patrick's Day and should go for the next week. I think this week is beer week in Philadelphia, though.
That's right. They've got parades and games and pub crawls and the whole thing. And we thought maybe it's something we need to investigate so that we can get something going in Southern California. So we asked producer Lightning to line up the guy. I guess he's the brewmaster, the man behind Philadelphia's Beer Week, on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for the spokesman for Beer Week, please.
Nope.
No, but we are.
This sounds like it might be our friend David Hasselhoff. Is that you, Dave?
Yes.
You're running Beer Week in Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
So you're in Philadelphia right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Have you been drinking beer today at all?
This is a mess.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you get your wits about you enough to tell us about Beer Week in Philly?
Nope.
No.
What kinds of things are going to be going on Philly Beer Week?
Drinking.
I see there's brewery tours and pub crawls and seminars and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I'm all right.
But we didn't ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having another Carl's Jr. burger laying without a shirt on the hotel room floor?
Yes.
Wow.
David...
Is there anyone else there that can give us details on Beer Week?
Nope.
No.
Is your daughter running a video camera or something that we can talk to her?
No.
Okay. Look, maybe you're not the best choice to run an alcohol-centered event based on your history of problems with substance abuse in recent months.
Mm.
David?
What?
Maybe you're not the guy that should be having this job.
Why not?
Well, you've had problems with alcohol. You've gone to rehab many times for it.
Mm.
Something called Beer Week seems like it might be encouraging you down the wrong road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe you should stay away from something called Beer Week because
nope.
it might just... Okay.
This is a mess.
So how long has it been going on now?
Starts today.
Okay. Starts today.
And you're already like this?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the spokesman for the whole week?
Yeah.
All right.
We don't want to call you on Monday, I'll tell you that.
Yes, we do.
Nope.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. I mean, you all right, David?
This is a mess.
Uh-oh. You're going down, Dave.
All right.
David?
Happy Beer Week.
Yeah, happy Beer Week. Happy Beer Week.
I drink a lot of beer.
Right.
Yes. This is a mess.
Sure is. You okay?
I like beer.
Yeah.
I like to drink a lot of beer.
Right.
I drink it all the time.
David?
I drink it.
You okay?
I'm sorry, I couldn't make that out.
What?
David, do you think anyone else gets that joke? can't make that out.
Is that Omar laughing in the other room?
Who bars it? Beer Week? We can't
make out anything say? Anymore. I'm sorry, David.
Omar's what? An owl?
Omar is what?
Omar is an owl is what we're getting. Yes? Omar is an owl. Okay. That's a good tip. All right, well, take care.
Listen very carefully, folks, because you won't hear about this show anywhere else. The best television show on the air today. Check it out.
At the end of last year, we were introduced to a cable access TV show called Let's Paint and Exercise and Mix Blended Drinks. And it's hosted by a guy by the name of John Kilduff. Here's a little bit of the audio that we had.
Yes, I'm your host, John Kilduff. We're going to get to painting. We're going to do some exercising. And, of course, we're going to make some wonderful blended drinks.
And I know juices are the way to go. You know, I mean,
definitely.
It keeps you healthy. And this is Santa Monica.
All right, man. Hello, caller.
All right. Okay, so that's where that came from, by the way. A lot of people wanted to know, where did Santa Monica come from? The people prank calling this TV show. Mm-hmm. So Psycho Mike decided that he needed to be on this program.
Yeah.
Along with DJ Omar. And Psycho Mike has a band called Band Pax.
Yep.
And you were on when? When were you on this program?
Saturday afternoon.
Now, this is a guy who runs on a treadmill and is terribly out of breath.
And he's wearing a three-piece suit, too, usually when he's on the treadmill. And he never stops for the whole show. For all 30 minutes of it, he's running on this treadmill while he's painting and making blended drinks.
And I guess his point is that you can be inspired to do whatever you want to do. But, he's really bad at running on a treadmill. You can tell he's out of shape. B, he's the worst painter I've ever seen. And C, the blended drinks blow.
Here's the thing about John Kilduff, though. You may watch this show. And this is, after Saturday, this is the one thing I came away with that I want to give back to the public. Is that you watch the show and you may think, well, this guy's just putting on an act.
Right.
John Kilduff, 100%, genuinely wants the public to be more motivated and do more with their life, and he sincerely believes that his show is helping, and he is 100% a real dude.
Really?
Because
but how is his show helping, though? I don't look at him and go, I'm going to aspire to be more like this guy on a cable access show.
Yeah. He thinks that by multitasking in such a unique way that people can look at that and go, wow, well, I could do much more with my life, too. I mean, he really believes that.
Wow. All right. Take us through the thing.
We get there in Band Pax 1, which is our official automobile, a 1988 Cadillac limo that we all funneled in.
Okay.
And we get there, and we have to sign our contracts, and immediately we load up, and we start the show. And this is how Mr. Kilduff opens up.
Band Pax! All right, people. Woo! Band Pax is in the house here on this Saturday morning. Wherever you're watching, Happy New Year to you all. Happy 08. If you're watching it in 2009 and you're celebrating 2009, happy 2009. This is a celebration of every year, forever and ever. We're celebrating every new year.
I'm sorry, was that DJ Omar Khan?
Yeah, yeah, I brought that little drop with me.
And he only played it about 70 times within the half-hour show.
Mike, did he skip the possibility of watching it in 2008?
Yeah,
are you
why
only
2009?
Watching either the end of 2007 or 2009? What's that about?
To be honest, I think Kilduff's cognitive function is affected by the fact that he's in horrible shape and is sprinting on a treadmill.
This is the funniest part, is that this is the very beginning
yeah,
of the show.
Of yeah.
And he's so out of breath, he may not make it.
And by the way, you'll hear later on in this clip, he's going about 2 miles an hour. Omar is the one who motivates him to try to go faster.
By the way, I brought a fog machine with me.
Right.
So before we start, he's all like, I don't know about that fog, you know, because I'm going to be, you know, running on the treadmill. So as soon as we start the show, I'm all blasting the fog.
Did he ask you to turn it down and you just cranked it?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Nice.
All
right, here's the rest of the show. Omar.
It may have been a mistake to give Omar a microphone.
I brought my own PA.
You must. What time of the day was this?
11:45.
11. We started
11:30.
On air.
It was 11
on
was morning.
Yeah.
Omar blasted out of his mind.
Hammered.
You gotta go faster. Yeah.
And that was the theme of the whole show. Is Omar's a mental patient? Well, John Kilduff has a sidekick by the name of Inga.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Swedish exchange student. And
Dave's nailing her, by the way.
Yeah, he is. This time she wasn't helping making blended drinks. She was making a New Year's pudding pie.
Okay.
And this is Inga.
Yeah. Oh, Inga, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Inga's Swedish pudding.
Inga's pudding.
Inga's pudding. Inga's pudding. Inga's pudding.
Inga's pudding. All right, let's take another call here.
Yeah.
Hi, caller. Welcome to Let's Pay Cooking Outside Blood Drinks.
Oh, what?
DJ Omar Khan.
Okay. Did she say you're gay?
Yep. Yeah. And hung up.
And you're yelling?
Yeah.
So basically, you got Psycho Mike going, what? Yeah. And Omar playing
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Now, what's the deal? Because it's cable access, there's nobody screening these phone calls, and there's no delay button. People just get on and say whatever they want,
it's
right?
It's legal. 100%. It's legal. You can say the F word. You can say everything that you want to say.
Yeah. And, you won't be able to hear in the phone call, in the audio I sent in, because the audio is so terrible. But I called in 3 times from inside the studio.
So if you want to watch this, you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. The links are up. There's 3 different links, I think, for what's going on. Okay, what's the next clip?
Inga's resolution for the new year.
Well, I'm sure Inga has something, one of her own kind of resolution.
I would like to make enough money to get breast enlargement.
What?
Yeah.
Are doing nothing but causing noise.
Yeah, dude.
This has ruined the show, is what this
is.
Well,
the studio is about 40 square feet, and you've got a full band, a couple producers, cameramen, DJ Omar Khan, John Kilduff, and a
DJ Omar Khan.
Swedish exchange student. So it got a little crazy.
Yeah, hear me rocking a little bit of the Rick James in there, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Kilduff decides to take some calls.
Is he upset with you guys? I mean, is he getting angry because you're clearly trying to sabotage this program?
He just rolls with everything. It's insane.
Doesn't bother him.
This is the truth.
It's
this
insane.
Is the truth.
It's insane. He like really thinks that we are getting our creative juices out there and is really like inspired by people getting their creativity going.
So what you two are doing, which is basically ruining his show, he thinks you're helping?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He thinks you're pushing?
He sprints out of the show. As soon as we finish taping, he sprints out. And Omar's like, oh, dude, he's mad at me.
Yeah.
He's mad at me, man.
Yeah.
Omar walks out. He's like,
DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, Kilduff, I'm sorry if I went a little bit overboard. And John Kilduff says to him, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. He goes, Omar, don't worry about it, buddy. Everybody wants to be a star.
All right, what's the next clip?
Couple callers.
What do you want to do in the year 2010? What's that?
Washed up has been.
Oh!
What did he say? I couldn't hear.
You washed up has been F.
Oh.
Kilduff, don't let him get you down. You're not a has been.
Hello, caller. You're on. What's your resolution?
Hi, you're not a has been because you never accomplished anything.
Oh! Okay.
DJ Omar Khan.
Dear God, did you just stop playing? Why would you give Omar his own button?
So Omar,
DJ Omar Khan.
One of the many times he interrupts the show, he interrupts and he says, John, I actually made a shirt for you and
I made
this
a shirt
show.
For the show. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, check it out.
All right.
Get out of here.
Let's be.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's be.
F-
like it. The creative process leads to more, if you will, because you're happy. And when you're happy, you get more laid.
Yeah, so I took a white shirt and I put Let's Paint on the front right. with a happy face uh-huh. and then on the back in big letters and F with the sad face on the bottom. And he was like, oh,
why is there
cool.
a sad face after the effing?
Because I thought he'd find it sad. Okay.
Right. Inga finished with the pudding and went on to making Swedish meatballs.
More meatballs for everyone.
Someone told us when we were discussing Let's Paint TV last year that Inga is John's wife. Is that true, Mike? Can you verify?
Very much untrue.
Really?
Untrue.
Really? Yeah. She's just an actress or what?
Listen, many a times when we were off camera, I went up to Killed Up and I was like, listen, you can. We're off camera now, off the record. Is this an act or is this an... Oh, no, no. Inga's real. I'm an artist. I just want to get my painting out there. And I'm telling you, he's legit because unless he's the greatest character actor... This right. side of Borat,
right?
It's legit because he stayed in character and Inga stayed in character for hours beforehand.
Inga
and
thinks
after.
She's helping and doing good work and blah blah blah.
I think so.
Wow,
I think so. Here's Inga's recap of the day's show and some more of Inga's pudding.
Well, let's just get a recap of what Inga did here today.
I make pie with a
pudding
pie with pie. Ball.
Pudding pie with
It is delicious.
It's really Inga's pie!
You guys are doing everything you can to drive this man to an early grave, and he seems to like
he's
it.
He's all good with it, yeah.
It's funny you say that, drive him to an early grave, Kevin, because Omar officially almost killed us.
Uh-oh.
And I mean that literally.
What happened?
Well, we're wrapping up the show, and Kilduff points to Omar and to Banpacks, and he says, cut, he's doing this because he wants to wrap up the show. You're given a lot amount of time, and if
he wants his closing thoughts or whatever?
He has to give his closing thoughts.
Okay.
So he cuts us, and he's giving his closing thoughts, and Omar thinks it's a great time to light off a big sheet of fireworks.
That's my man.
That's my man.
Now, you know when really extreme things happen in your life? It can happen in a matter of seconds, but it seems like it's an eternity in your brain.
Sure.
Well, I'm standing behind Kilduff at this point. I'm helping him paint. Omar throws the fireworks down by my leg, and they're going to blow me up. And Omar's screaming, Mike,
I'm
Mike,
screaming
look.
Right because I decided to play it as my music closed, Kung Fu Fighting.
Okay.
So it's blaring, and Mike's playing his guitar and painting and stuff, and the firecrackers land on his foot.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh my God. And I'm like, Mike, move.
So I look down, and as I look down, I think to myself, those are fireworks on a sheet, a painting cloth that is soaked in paint thinner.
Oh, good.
And paint.
I didn't know.
And I watched myself kick over the paint remover. Like 2 seconds before that, I kicked over the paint remover, and it's all over the floor and
right.
all over my leg.
Nice.
Oh, and
God.
So this is all happening. And then the explosion. And you watch this on the video. It is the funniest part of the whole video. You have never seen true fear like John Kilduff when those explode in the studio. It is the funniest thing you'll ever see. Listen.
Okay, everybody. That's it. The show's over.
Oh, no.
Massive explosion. Massive, huge.
Oh. In a room the size of your kitchen, listeners,
I did
okay?
That specifically for Kevin.
Oh, that. Yeah. You rule.
Yeah.
You rule. We almost burned this place down just before the holidays.
Yeah, you know.
Omar's fireworks.
Yeah.
Well, you will not be invited back.
I doubt that, actually.
Yeah.
I think Kilduff will have us anytime
and
we want.
And I'm so going to be there. I was out of town, but I did receive this phone call from Omar.
Hey, Kevin. This is Omar. You're a happy holidays. All right, Let's Paint TV and all that bullshit. It was, you. Pick up your cell phone.
If there's one problem that faces Americans, it's we're not getting enough calories.
I'm starving just sitting here listening to you.
Al Gore's movie came out. And everybody's worried about, the greenhouse effect and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all driving cars. But they're still selling a lot of those gigantic, what do you call them?
The big SUVs?
Yeah, they're still selling tons
of
those.
Like the Range Rovers.
Tons.
Yeah, I know.
Well, more than half the vehicles sold in America are still SUVs.
Yeah.
So apparently not everybody's on board with the message.
Right. And the same thing is happening in the restaurant industry. Everybody's saying, ooh, gotta cut down on fat. Can't eat this kind of food. Can't eat that kind of food. And Hardee's is going to say, nope, I'm telling you right now, we got a new country breakfast burrito, and it's enough food for the whole day. They are packing it with 920 calories, 60 grams of fat.
Oh, my. Dude. Wait a minute. Just stop. 60 grams of fat in a burrito?
A full day's worth of saturated fat and salt. It's
What is in this thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Lisa, because we asked producer Lightning to line up the nutritionist for the Hardee's food chain, and he is on the line right now. Let's say good morning to Dr. Clark Novak. Good morning, Dr. Novak. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Well, now, Kevin made a reference to the country breakfast burrito. I want to make sure we get our facts straight here before we conduct the interview. Tell us, what's the deal with this?
Sound, huh?
Well, tell us what's in it.
Well, it's two omelets.
Mm-hmm.
Made with fresh eggs.
Okay.
That are filled with bacon,
mm-hmm.
sausage, diced ham, fresh cheddar cheese, hash browns, and sausage gravy, and all that is wrapped up inside a flour tortilla.
You have to put gravy in there as well.
Like everything you put on a plate of food when you order breakfast.
Right. Moist.
That's a whole day's worth of food right there.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you know, breakfast is the most important meal, fellas.
I have heard that. Now, I want to make sure we have this correct again. How many calories, how many grams of fat in that one breakfast burrito?
It's approximately 920 calories and about 60 grams of your fat.
Wow. Wow, that's strong.
Yeah. I mean,
you need a good start to your day.
And that's it?
Yeah, you're going to burn off a lot of those calories, you know.
Hardee's is the restaurant. The Center for Science in the Public Interest, a Washington-based advocate for nutrition and health, has called the Hardee's line of thick burgers food porn.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Food porn is what it is.
Have you guys tried the Monster Thick Burger?
No.
That's what she said.
That's 1,420 calories.
Oh.
My God, are you kidding?
It's made up of 2 third-pound slabs of beef, 4 strips of bacon, 3 slices of cheese, and mayonnaise on a buttered bun.
Now,
thank
Dr.
God
Novak,
you buttered the bun.
That's a monster thick burger. Well, again, you got to keep it moist.
The monster.
When you eat that much food, it's hard to choke it down unless it's nice and slippery. We like to butter up the bun for you.
For some of our younger listeners who don't really follow calories and fat and stuff like that, what is recommended? As a nutritionist, what is the recommended amount of calories the average person probably needs in the course of a day?
Well, it depends. Depends on your activity. I mean, you could burn up to a million calories in a day.
Right, but how much
are you sure?
If you're like running a marathon around the world really fast.
You're not really a doctor, are you?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to DeVry.
No, that's a very good medical school.
Yeah.
But
but the average chick who, what's your, Lisa May, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yes.
About 1,600 calories if you're sedentary women.
1,600 for sedentary.
So I can have that burger, and that's it.
Yeah, well, look, that's convenience. That's the convenience of fast food. You just have to eat once.
I guess you won't be...
Okay. Well, it's certainly inexpensive for a day's worth of food.
Won't be hungry all day.
But like a teenage boy, or, you know, if you're an active adult, you could burn 2,500 calories in a day.
So this is nothing.
So you can eat two of those.
Yeah, get two.
Okay. So
recommend. Eat two of them.
The country breakfast burrito, that's out now. That rolled out today, I guess, in Hardee's restaurants. And clearly, with the success of the Monster Thick Burger and now the new burrito, clearly this is the direction Hardee's is heading. And what other kind of stuff are you working at there in the lab?
Well, we're concerned about health, too, you know. You can get the country burrito, country breakfast burrito. You can get an egg substitute.
You can get an egg substitute.
Yeah, we substitute lard for the egg. A lot of people don't like eggs. Too eggy.
The eggs are eggy.
And if you get the combo, you can wash it down with what we call the Mug-O Fudge.
The Mug-O Fudge.
Which is a coffee-flavored fudge that we just melt down and put in a cup for you. You just wash it down with a mug of fudge.
That sounds good, but awfully fattening, doctor.
For the ladies, if you're watching watching your waistline, you can get our new sweet corn salad.
Sweet corn salad.
Yeah, it's candy corn on a bed of cotton candy, covered with a diced marshmallow peeps.
Wow, that's a taste treat.
It sure is. Or for breakfast, you can also get the flapjack belly pumper.
The flapjack belly pumper doesn't sound good.
Oh, no, it's great. We hook you. It's for people on the go. We hook you up just to a high-pressured hydraulic hose system.
Right.
And we just pump pancake batter, maple syrup, and melted butter into your stomach.
Wow.
And
you don't even have to chew?
Like an Ethiopian. then we turn it off once you hit that stage.
That's quite a service you provided, Hardee's.
And last, we got the new mouth stretcher burger, too.
The mouth stretcher?
Yeah, it's 17 pounds of chopped animal.
What animal?
Whatever we got lying around. 8 pounds of Jarlsberg cheese,
right,
and a bushel of tomatoes.
Wow, that doesn't sound good.
We have to actually dislocate your jaw in order to get your mouth open large enough to get it on your throat.
That seems extreme eating right there, Doc.
It's a speculum. Just open up your mouth.
God.
Wow.
Whatever speculum we have laying around.
Oh,
that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah.
You are doing good work.
Well, watch it now with a mug of fudge.
I'm just saying, no matter how old he gets, I hope Bill Cosby never stops talking.
Or rapping. This comes from the AP. It looks like Bill Cosby is going to do a rap album.
I can't, in my wildest imagination, imagine what it would be like for him to be rapping.
He's been going through the country lately, giving speeches, right? About
right.
About black people, how to pull yourselves up and don't shoot yourself in the foot kind of
right.
speeches.
State of Emergency is his campaign. I think that's why they're naming the album this, is because he thinks that the black neighborhoods are in crisis right now. You know, families are splitting up and getting into drugs and crime and stuff like that. So the man is on a tear. So I guess he just looks at this as another way to kind of get his message out that, you know, black people need to be more responsible for their actions. And the rap album, though, just blows my mind. So we asked producer Alex to line up the Cos, and I think we have Mr. Cosby on the line with us right now. Good morning, Bill.
Governor, it's me. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing very well. How are you? What?
Could I be better?
Couldn't be better.
Good. Glad to hear that. Now, you are what? You're 70? About 70 years old now?
I am 70 years young.
Yeah.
70 years young.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone out there in the target audience that you hope to reach, which I assume is young black people, who are going to be interested in a rap album from you?
Well, I certainly hope so. Because I was the big hit on the television.
When was that, 80s?
In the 80s,
the Cosby
sir.
Show?
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And also, we had the Fat Albert Show.
You had the Fat Albert Show,
it,
yes.
It was the 60s, though, right? Or 70s, right?
It was the 70s.
70s.
Right, but what I'm saying
many
is that
children would get up on Saturday morning, have their cereal, watch them,
Right. But what I'm saying is the 20-year-olds that you want to reach, Bill, don't have any idea who you are.
I fucked up with the present problem.
What?
I don't know what you're saying.
I think they do.
You think they
you do.
Do?
Oh, you think they do. Okay.
Because, you see, they've seen me selling the Jell-O pudding.
Well, you have done those Jell-O pudding commercials.
Jell-O bran and pudding.
Okay.
Yum, yum, yum.
Who would you say, Mr. Cosby, is your hip-hop influence? Are you in the Snoop Dogg vein, or you're more like 50 Cent? What do you like?
I'm more like 75 Cent.
See? Because you're not just 50.
I'm a little bit more.
A little bit more than that.
Oh.
Another quarter.
I'm another quarter cent.
So, yeah, when does the rap CD come out?
I'm 99 cents.
What?
What?
I'm 99 cents.
You keep going up.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Have you already recorded? Have you finished recording?
Of course I've recorded the CD.
Okay.
Can't put the CD in the case unless you've recorded something to put on it. You see.
Now, wait a minute. They're handing us, is this your CD here that we have a copy
you
of?
You have my first single.
And do you need to tell us anything about it?
It's called the OGBC.
The OGBC.
Because I'm BC.
Okay. Bill Cosby.
That's right. You got that right.
Okay.
Now here, you're a smart guy.
There you go. This is the world premiere of Bill Cosby's new rap CD.
Listen up, motherfucker. This is Bill Cosby,
yeah.
BC, MCBC, telling you how we used to do it back in the old days in North Philadelphia.
Philly.
You see, I don't sleep, motherfucker, on the streets slagging jello when it comes to pudding pops. I'm one bad fellow, Bill Cosby, in the place to be. Pimping straight up out of Temple University. Make it rain on the bitches when I'm up in the club. Got a pocket full of dollars and a bottle full of bub. Don't believe me, hoes? Just give me a chance, cause the real fat offer is in my pants. Hey, 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 what can I say? Did a dirty Sanchez on Lisa Bonet. Did a three-way with Rudy and Vanessa too. Beat the sh** out of Theo till he's black and blue. Thug life. Gang banging trendsetter. I'm the illest motherfucker in a cashmere sweater. OG, a primetime TV, the king of hip hop. Call me Bill Cosby.
All you bitch ass n- know not to step the Cliff Huxtable. Bill Cosby's a gangster.
And that is how it's done, you see.
Yeah, you tell him, Cos.
You know he's a gangster.
Just like when I was Police and Rashad.
Come on. Bill Cosby's a gangster.
Make it her old bleed. Oh. Hey, hey, hey.
Wow. Bill, am I mistaken? I thought your whole thing was no cursing and no hoes and no bitches.
Violence.
Yeah.
I thought you were against all that.
That used to be.
Yeah?
Until I got in the studio.
Oh, I
see. It's so much more fun.
I gotcha.
To beat the bitches and sling the jello. Do it for the drugs and the alcohol.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
Turns out the rappers were right.
If you have young children near the radio, perhaps listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning on their way to someplace, make sure to turn this up. This is information they're going to want to need to know.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Dun, dun, dun. Wow.
Where do we start?
Oh,
where
geez.
Do we start?
Here's where we start. There was a big party last night. And Dave, the King of Mexico, the one-man stereotype. And the whore, our assistant producer, Alex.
Hello.
Were both drinking and got to Psycho Mike's house about the time he was getting up to come into work.
I've never seen Mike so pissed in my life. Mike was
Wonder
pissed.
Why. Bad enough the guy's got to get up at the crack of midnight to get to work. And then you people come in all drunk and rowdy.
Hey, I had a good time.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, guys, let me stop you right there and ask this question. Don't Dave and Alex work on the same show Mike does? Didn't they have to get up and come
to
work?
We're on a special holiday schedule.
Maybe. No. Well, you know, Mike was up at 3:30.
Right.
And I was like, all right, cool. We got about an hour to sleep.
By the way, I don't know if you can tell, but Dave's still drunk.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, I'm not drunk.
I'm not Paul Abdul. So, you know, I look at the clock and I'm like, all right, it's 5 o'clock. Let's get up. And turns out the clock was wrong.
Yeah, it's
it
the
was
clock.
An hour
sure, it was
later.
The clock wrong. Yeah.
Mike, is your VCR not wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe it is, but it's never bothered me. I mean,
just to let you know, it's an hour wrong.
Yeah, it's
do
an
you
hour
guys
behind.
Not have any? Did, were you expect
who goes by VCR time?
Were
by
you
the way?
Expecting look, just
yeah,
to roll
right
over?
At TV.
No, Dave set his alarm based on that. So then he set it in.
Doesn't his clock? Doesn't his phone have a time on it?
Well, I didn't hear that. Alarm.
Guys, we may be swinging wide of the important point here. We have business to take care of.
We heard that this was going to happen and that Alex and Dave were going to be crashing at Mike's house. We said, wouldn't it be funny if Psycho Mike, who's a chronic person who has him share of himself
right.
more than most, wouldn't it be funny if he... if he...
The act that dare not speak its name.
If he what, Ralph?
If he enacted the act that dare not speak its name
on
one of our coworkers. Wouldn't that
company?
Be hilarious?
Right.
Oh, that'd be so freaking funny.
And so...
$100, $200,
$300,
$400,
$500.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
So Kevin and I...
congratulations.
Kevin and I decided to pony up some cash, and we offered Mike $500 if he could commit the act.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Did you take a picture? Because I have nothing on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I have nothing on me.
I'm sorry, Alex, you do.
Mike,
Dave's
the
witness.
Is it in my hair? It's not in my hair.
A lot of it was.
Mike got.
It's not, though.
Mike got.
Yeah!
Mike got Dave up just to look.
But it's not in my hair.
Mike
though.
Got Dave up
Dave
just to look.
Would not vouch for me for no reason. It was.
No. I believe Dave, but it's not.
He didn't,
where is it, though? Because literally, we woke up and we got in the car.
I think it's on his pillow now.
Yeah, but right after it happened and I got Dave to vouch for me.
Wait, it's got to be ears forward if it's just in my hair.
Most of it, the brunt of it was in your hair. Because she took like a hat. She was well aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
She took like a blanket. And covered her face like a guy on a motorcycle.
Because it's not on my face.
And then she took a hat, like a cowboy hat that I don't know where she got.
Which we got at the bar. Thanks, yeah. Jake.
Okay,
in Pasadena.
I don't know a cowboy hat. And she put that on the side of her head.
So you didn't have much to shoot for,
and,
so to speak.
So ears forward,
and
where
no,
is
I
it?
Got, I, no. I would say a milligram to 2 milligrams hit the face, but a good
but it's not on my face,
tablespoon
though.
Hit
the act that dare not speak its name.
All according to witnesses.
All I saw was a glop
of
hair that was covering the cheek. And I was like,
good morning.
Oh, no. Alex was so passed out that she didn't realize. And I'm like, oh my God, she's not waking up. Awesome. Because I like...
Right.
I was in my box, so I was prepared.
Right.
And I got Dave to wake up, and right as she... I was like, Dave, don't wake her up. And she rolls over on my pillow and just like... and smooshes it all over my couch.
The act that dare not speak its name.
I rolled it off my hair and cheek into your couch.
You did.
Because I'll do a check with Lisa in the bathroom right now.
You know
there's
what?
Nothing on me.
I would like to see that check.
It's a lot cheaper than $500.
Lola's getting a good
amount of breakfast. Stop it, Dave. Get out of here. What's wrong with you?
Oh, just
Get out of here.
David. Wow, you got that by a millimeter. You got $500 by a millimeter.
Yes, he did.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
What I didn't realize is how little that would bother her.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't realize.
Well, because I did the best
because
I could,
it happens
and I was
all the time.
Out and...
The act that dare not speak its name.
Alex is surprised in the mornings when she wakes up and there isn't something on her face.
And one of the things you really don't want to do is turn on YouTube and find a good friend of yours doing something weird.
Wait, a good friend doing something weird? You must be talking about Jed the Fish.
Stop flapping your gums. Let's talk to Jed the Fish.
Okay.
Okay. All right, we can do that too.
On Friday, we found out that Jed the Fish has some stuff up on YouTube. And we went to Jed the Fish YouTube and we saw some of the stuff. And we said, we have to call Jed. We need an intervention. Jed?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Just want to get that out of the way. Now, how long have you been putting stuff up on YouTube?
Mainly just this year. Actually, most people on YouTube just joined in the last few months.
Okay.
Right. Now, my first introduction to your work, Jed, was after the Leave Britney Alone Guy video. Ralph came across your response to the Leave Britney Alone Guy video, and this was it in its entirety.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
That was the extent of the video. Now, what makes you think that and then film that and then put that up on the internet?
Well, they started this new thing where you get to respond immediately.
Right.
You don't create a video and then upload it. You record it and upload it at the same time.
Right.
And what I've noticed is those things get jammed into the system and promoted a little bit more than other videos.
Right.
So that's one of my favorite things to say on those rare occasions when that does happen. There's another band that's done that called The Shags from 1969, and then a band called Coco Rosie that did it out of Coachella last year. But it's something just so strange, my mind freezes.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to play another clip, and I want you to tell us what was going on at the time. Here's Jed the Fish on YouTube.
This looks like a guard tower for killing...
Jed, what was that? Was that in the fireworks chunk?
Yeah, that was in the fireworks.
Jed is obsessed with fireworks, real fireworks.
Yeah.
And apparently was going to Magic Mountain when they were having some and was driving in the truck and saw something. The guy was in the guy's truck that it was driving and he asked him this.
What are these, Don? Condoms?
No, that's gum.
Oh, gum.
Gum, yeah. Condoms? No, gum.
Jed, you still have a radio show here on K-Rock, right?
Yeah.
And that's how many hours a day? It's like 3 hours every day you got the radio show?
But I can't finger paint at work.
Okay, that brings us up to another point. Uh-huh. Jed the Fish's new obsession is finger painting. So we went into Mr. Weatherby's office, as we do every day now, because our life blows. And there's like a clock there that we're supposed to follow on K-Rock. And it was finger painting. It looked like, and I said to Mr. Weatherby, did your kids do that? And he said, no, I'll give you two guesses. And I said, one of your kids or the other one of your kids? And he said, nope, Jed the Fish. And Jed finger paints on YouTube and describes it as he films it with one hand and finger paints with the other hand.
We had no idea this was going on.
Well, I finger paint because it feels good and I like the way it looks. And you can instantly sprout an idea with paint actually on your hands. Words and drawings and symbols and mushy patterns. And the other interesting thing about finger painting is you get it twice. While it's wet, it's three-dimensional and vivid color, and then when it's dry, it cracks and it mixes better with other colors.
So. Now, Jed, you know that we like you, right?
I don't know that.
We like you.
We tell you that all the time.
Okay. We've liked you the whole time. But
we've never said a single bad word about you, Jed. You're our favorite person here at K-Rock.
All right, thank you.
But you're a nut job.
Well, at least I'm a conscious nut job.
Okay, that's true. Now, there's also some political stuff on YouTube that Jed put up there after the president of Iran visited.
Well, I got to hand it to Ahmadinejad.
as crazy as he is, he just walked into an ambush not knowing what to expect. Our own president of the United States would not face the same crowd at Columbia without editing all questions and comments and having the whole thing rigged.
That is true.
Yeah, it is.
And then Jed, of course, said,
"That brought my mind to a complete halt."
Now, but Jed, here's the one that I want to ask you about, because this is the one where I think maybe you've gone bye-bye. What were you talking about with kids' brains?
Oh, the Chuck Rice.
Yeah, what? What the hell was that?
Yeah, the Chuck Rice is out there for even me.
Okay, listen to this clip and you can tell me what you think's going on.
But we need your twins' brains. And animal brains, any animals you have around the house that'll do snakes and hamsters and even Chuck Rice. Chuck Rice have brain matter. We need all the brain matter we can get because we have to get on a train and deliver it to Thunderclap.
I'm out.
What was that?
Jed, well, I gotta go.
What? Jed, what was going on there exactly?
Well, I just finished the seventh book of the Stephen King series, Dark Tower.
Okay. But there's no reference to that.
No.
People think when Mike does his Jed impression on his show that he's exaggerating. He's for comedic effect. Now I realize that Mike needs to crank up his impression. It's not far enough out to be Jed the Fish.
He has to expand his territory a little bit.
Fake Jed, what do you think's going on with real Jed?
My aunt Millie in Norwalk has a dog named Barfly, and no matter where we'd put the styrofoam products, the dog would eat it, and it ended up dying. I took the ashes of Barfly to meet with...
We need more mania.
Your hair is stirring me right now.
Caracue.
Jed, you're the best.
I got you on the phone.
Uh-oh.
I've been sitting here to myself, you know, saying, you know, you're doing a little songwriting, you're doing little videos, you're doing finger painting. Why don't you make it meaningful by selling your music, selling your artwork? And then I decided that part of life has passed me by. And it's just as well, because it's getting so that if I pay for recorded music, if I pay for artwork, I'm stupid, unless I really, really love it. But
right.
What most people are paying for is not worth money. Most of what's called album artwork, most people could do themselves.
Okay.
And truthfully, most concert performances I witness are not worth the money. They're just replicating their own work.
Right.
What I get a kick out of is creating something new right on the spot. It's what you guys do every morning.
No.
Like if the Red Hot Chili Peppers wrote music live on stage, I would definitely pay to see that. If Tom Morello, and he's done this, created something one-of-a-kind, new performance, I would definitely pay to see that. I don't think he's written songs on stage so often, but he recently curated a series of shows at the Hotel Cafe, and it was the known artists doing different versions of their own songs. It was Alice in Chains, Alanis Morissette, Motley Crue, Perry
It's Girl. On a 6.7 K-Rock. What the hell is this guy on the phone talking about?
Where we appreciate every single word that a woman has to say.
Not. There's a book that is out in stores now called The Female Brain, and I know what you're thinking. Wow, that's a short book.
But hey. Actually,
a lot of people are talking about it. Dr. Lawan Brizendine has written the book, and she has done research, over 1,000 scientific studies on the brain, and has learned a lot about, as you would expect, the real differences between men's brain and women's brain.
She did 1,000 studies and came up with something as amazing as women talk more than men. Really? You needed 1,000 studies to know that?
And by the way, also on that tip, men think about sex every 52 seconds. Women, how often do you think?
Once a day.
Once a day, Lisa.
Is it?
Exactly, once a day.
Wow. Men, 52 seconds, so once a minute.
Yes.
Women once a day.
Once every 24 hours.
So awesome. It's kind of a miracle that those two coincide at the same time where you can actually have make some sexy time, because it seems like the chances are pretty slim.
Yeah.
But there's some real fascinating stuff in this book. And as Kevin mentioned, women talk way, 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 way more than men. It's not even close.
She says three times as much. And I think three times as much is way low.
It does seem low, that's
well,
for sure.
Well, it is for some men. Some of you all don't talk at all.
Some of you women talk a lot.
And there's some women who everything in their head comes out their mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, we know. Anyway, we asked Lightning to line up somebody on the team for us, and we have Dr. Marcus Wolson, PhD from Massachusetts Maritime Academy. Now, Doctor, this is the Fort Lauderdale extension of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy?
Yeah, that's right. We just opened up a satellite campus here in South Florida, and we couldn't be happier.
Okay, and you were or were not involved in the research that went into this book that we're talking about, the female brain?
No, I'm doing my own research. I'm doing a counter study called the male brain.
Oh.
And, I've read Ms. Brizendine's work, and I think a lot of it's, suspect, to say the least, in terms of scientific study.
She said the average woman talks 20,000 words a day, the average guy 7,000.
Yeah, well, that much you got right. What she didn't say is that 15,000 of those 20,000 words are said while you're trying to watch goddamn television! She wants to talk about your mother-in-law! Outstanding! Well, let me just hit the TiVo on pause for the 100th time during the half hour I'm watching television and turn all my attention to you, sweet cheek!
Dr. Wilson, are you sure that you're subjective enough to make
objective
a study?
Objective enough.
Will you
objective.
Shut up, woman? Are you enough? Shut up!
I've said like 20 words.
Your voice is like shaving my head with a cheese grater.
Oh, God.
Dr. Brizendine, who's the woman that wrote the study, she says that women devote more brain cells to talking than men.
Yeah, well, they got about 8. So, I guess 7 of those cells are directed towards talking.
That is not scientific.
Shut the hell up!
I gotta say, I'm gonna ask Bean's question again, because it seems like a scientific study needs to be very objective, and you seem to be, I don't know, a little emotionally involved in the topic.
Oh, but this broad who wrote the book about the female brain, she's completely subjective. What is she? Is she a llama? Is she some sort of other species where she's not connected?
Here's well, a, no, but she probably...
All right, here's what she says, and let me tell you, we'll get what you think.
Oh, no, please tell me what she says. I need to hear more about what women think.
Women have an 8-lane superhighway for processing emotion, while men have a small country road.
Yeah, women have an 8-lane superhighway. The thing is, they're in all the lanes, and they got their left turn signal on.
Now you're talking about women driving?
And they're putting on their makeup in the rear view while they're in the 8-lane highway. I'm behind them in a Hummer, and I can't get to goddamn work.
You're a doctor, you're a PhD.
Yeah, I'm a PhD.
All right.
We got to be honest.
In what? Don't kill yourself.
Dr. Wilson, please, we're trying to conduct an interview here. Let's all be civil here. The Massachusetts Maritime Academy, Fort Lauderdale Extension, just doesn't sound, I don't know, like the most reputable school. This woman was University of California, this woman who did the book.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen Hawking. I didn't know you were putting together a catalog of the world's best colleges.
All right, let me run one more thing that she said by and get your opinion on this.
Yeah, let's hear more from the broad.
She says that women actually get a buzz out of hearing their own voices, and then she goes on to say, talking triggers a flood of brain chemicals, which gives women a rush similar to heroin addicts.
Well, that's got to be true, because why else would they just talk and talk and talk and talk? And the thing is, the amazing part is not that the voice gives them a buzz, but they don't hear it. They don't hear what they're saying. They don't hear their own voices. It's like farts. I think they say it's like you smell your own fart. You're like, oh, it's not so bad.
What?
But somebody sitting next to you in a bus, like, Jesus Christ, what crawled up inside of you and died?
What are you talking about?
Shut up!
You're not a doctor, are you?
That's what talking to a woman is like. You're like, oh, dear God, doesn't she hear that sound? Doesn't she know? How do her ears not bleed?
What sound are you talking about?
Oh, for Christ's sake, will you go kill yourself? How do you two work with her all day long with her talking?
Well, we find what she says in most cases to be quite interesting.
I'm not that chatty, really.
Oh, will you listen to yourself? I've got to stick an ice pick in my ear than listen to you for one goddamn second longer.
Dr. Marcus Wilson, is it possible that you just got out of a relationship?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I just got freed from a prison. A marriage is held for 27 years.
I think she got freed from prison, frankly.
She can't be in prison. I'm going to stick you in a pickle barrel and push you over Niagara Falls.